Our reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 7, starting at verse 14, the plague of blood. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the water. Wait on the bank of the Nile to meet him, and take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, Let my people go, so that they may worship me in the desert. But until now you have not listened. This is what the Lord says, By this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that is in my hand I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die, and the river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink its water. The Lord said to Moses, Tell Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams and canals, over the ponds and all the reservoirs, and they will turn to blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt, even in the wooden buckets and stone jars. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelt so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. Amen.
Good morning. This morning we continue our exploration through the book of Exodus under the series titled Following God into the Unknown. And here we look at the events of chapter 7, which detail the first of the promised plagues. And I've entitled this message, Watching God in Action, because basically that's what we're going to do this morning. As we walk through chapter 7 of Exodus, we're going to watch God in action through what Moses and Aaron do. And in fact, if you look at the whole Bible, the Bible is written and we watch God in action from the very beginning of Genesis right through to Revelation. So this morning we look at the events of Moses and Aaron and their encounter with Pharaoh. And despite all the events of Moses' life, he had never been in this particular situation before. He was required to confront and call out the most powerful man on the planet at this time, Pharaoh. And just as we often have to, Moses walked towards the unknown with his head held high. None of us know what is going to happen day by day. We tend to make reasonable assumptions, but there is always an element of the unknown about the everyday. It's important for us to remember too that Moses and Aaron, unlike us, who have the complete Bible, had no idea how the story would pan out. To them, the end was known, but how they were going to get there was not. And it's the same for us. If we know Christ as Saviour, then we know the end of our journey, the end of our story, but we don't know how we will get there. There are for us all vast tracts of unknown to traverse before our race is run and our fight has been fought. This morning I'm just going to talk about three simple points from this passage. And the first is this, that God speaks to Moses. In the first seven verses of this chapter, God speaks to Moses and Aaron, telling them what is going to happen over the next month or so and what they are to do. In no uncertain terms, God outlines how the Hebrew people will be set free. There's to be a series of disasters which will inflict great harm on the Egyptian people, culminating, we now know, in a tragic loss of life. The book of Exodus, so far, has been building towards this confrontation with Pharaoh. The lives of both Moses and Aaron have been a seedbed of preparation, a detailed yet sometimes painful series of experiences, all focused towards their meeting with the Egyptian leader. In the first verse of this chapter, God speaks to Moses and Aaron and says, See, I have made you like a god to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. These words would have changed how they felt and how they approached Pharaoh. Despite their earlier encounter with Pharaoh in chapter 5, they now understand that when they meet Pharaoh again, he would at least treat them with a level of respect and dignity granted to the many gods he worshipped. For this first encounter, God had rehearsed the scene by granting Moses and Aaron knowledge of what was going to happen and how he should respond. God graciously revealed his plans and allows Aaron and Moses to walk into the future, prepared for the repeated confrontation and stalemate. No longer is Moses tongue-tied, timid, or weak. He met Pharaoh with his head held high. Here, Moses is the mouthpiece for God, confident, assured, and at last at peace with himself. He was beginning to understand that his obedience to God brought freedom and not restriction. When Moses and Aaron finally met Pharaoh, as God predicted, he demanded that Moses perform a miracle. When Pharaoh uttered those words, I imagine Moses and Aaron glancing at each other, and in that knowing glance, understanding that God's words were coming true. So Aaron, as instructed by God, threw down his staff, and it turned into a snake. And again, just as God had promised, Pharaoh's wise men also threw down their staffs, and they became snakes as well. However, Aaron's snake swallowed up the other snakes, which resulted in Pharaoh becoming deaf to their words. And it was only after this first encounter that God reveals to Moses what would happen next. God speaks again and gives Moses detailed instructions as to where to meet Pharaoh, on the banks of the River Nile, where Pharaoh may have gone each morning to worship. The Egyptians believed that the River Nile was a god because it brought both life and sustenance for the nation. It provided water to drink and irrigate crops, fish to eat, and fertility to the surrounding lands when in flood. It was while Pharaoh, who believed he was a god, was worshipping another god, that the one true God intervened. And he did so through the words and actions of Moses and Aaron. Aaron, as instructed by Moses, held his staff over and then struck the River Nile, at which point the river and all the surrounding stored water turned to blood. Here, Moses and Aaron obey God, and the river is turned to blood. All the fish die, and it becomes utterly undrinkable. And this act by them is not simply another sign of the power of God. It is, in fact, a judgment on the nation of Egypt, a nation who had for generations willingly enslaved God's chosen Hebrew people, requiring them to live under the harshest of conditions and depriving them of rightful opportunities to worship God. Just for a moment, imagine yourself standing on Tower Bridge in London looking at the River Thames, embracing the scene of river life with the passing of ships and pleasure cruisers, water taxis, and along with others, simply admiring the majestic view. When to your horror, the entire river, as far as you can see, turns red. Slowly, you and those around you begin to understand that this is simply not reddened water, but it is in fact blood. The smell and taste of the air has changed. The river no longer looks or flows freely, and dead fish begin to float to the surface. We need to genuinely understand the scale of devastation and see the brutal nature of what happened. As Aaron's rod struck the water, everything changed. What had brought and sustained life now only brought death and hardship. And in the same way that God's anger had burned against Moses, here God's anger was displayed against the nation of Egypt in this first of 10 escalating plagues. You know, it's vital to remember that before each of the plagues, Pharaoh, was given the opportunity to let the people go. And thereby, he was given the opportunity to experience the grace and mercy of God. Secondly, we come to the section of this message called God Speaks to Pharaoh. And it is through Moses that God speaks to Pharaoh. And the verbal message is remarkably simple. Let my people go, so that they may worship me in the desert. But until now you have not listened. This is what the Lord says. By this you will know that I am Lord. God speaks to Pharaoh, but for whatever reason he decides not to hear the words. His heart is unyielding and stubborn. In his heart he dismisses the words Moses brings, even when those words contain an explicit warning of impending catastrophe. In this passage, it was Pharaoh's hardened heart that brought immense suffering to the Egyptian people. They were deprived of clean drinking water, fish to eat, and with water with which to irrigate their crops. I have no doubt that Pharaoh's lifestyle was well insulated from this hardship, and his luxurious lifestyle continued unabated, and his interest in the genuine welfare of his people was limited at best. Pharaoh, who by sheer force of will refused to hear, to see, or believe that God was speaking, or that there would be consequences. How sadly familiar that is today, when so much speaks of God and points to him, that so often mankind refuses to hear, to see, or even believe that there is a God, and certainly dismiss that there will be any eternal consequences. And this thought challenged me to consider my own heart as to whether it is hardened to the voice of God. It's important for us all to understand that a hard heart has repercussions on our life and those with whom we share life, in our relationships, friendships, church and workplace front lines. Maybe our hearts are hard when it comes to the reality of giving or being generous with our resources. Perhaps we are hard-hearted when we encounter those who are poor or persecuted, when we fail to encourage, support or compliment. Hardened hearts allow us to condemn, to judge, reject and marginalise. And you know, church has historically been very good at condemning and rather reluctant to show grace and mercy, which contrasts with the powerful words we read in John 3:17. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Rightly, there were consequences for Pharaoh's actions. The words of Moses came true and suffering was the result. There is no escaping the consequences of the decisions we make. When we are confronted with Jesus, each one of us has been, or certainly will be, granted the opportunity to consider whether we want to have a relationship with Christ or not. And finally, the third section of this message is simply entitled, God Speaks to Us. You know, considering the events that Exodus tells us about and the fact that they occurred thousands of years ago, we might entertain the idea that God no longer speaks, or if he does, it's not relevant for us in the 21st century. You know, here at Frinton Free Church, we know that God still speaks in a multitude of ways. Through his word, the Bible, prayer, our fellow Christians, the Holy Spirit, and creation, just to name a few. We need to create space to hear God speak and give ourselves the opportunity to build relationship with him. Mark spoke last week about finding that special place where we can more fully understand that he is Lord and listen and then let those words change who we are for eternity. It's all very well hearing the voice of God, but that was not all Moses and Aaron did. Look with me at verse 10, where it says, "So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord had commanded." It was obedience to God in which a real sense makes this a most important verse, the fulcrum of the surrounding text. Because hearing is one thing, but there needs to be action as a result. When we hear the words of God, things change. They are never to be the same again. Just as we have seen through this passage, Moses and Pharaoh both heard the words of God, and for them things were never the same again. One had a renewed and vibrant relationship with God, leading a nation out of slavery, and the other nation experienced disaster and death. This last week I sat and reflected on this passage and considered the river of blood, and my mind was drawn to the New Testament and the scene at Calvary, where so often at communion we remember the blood that flowed from Christ's side. His blood, unlike the River Nile, brings life, brings freedom from sin, and brings a renewed relationship with God. The Lord Jesus on the cross bore God's anger on our behalf. And in the same way that God offered Pharaoh the opportunity for mercy, God, through the gift of his Son, offers us freedom from the judgment of our sin. God's mercy is relentless if we open our hearts to him through Jesus. No matter where we are basing our message series, it always comes back to Jesus. And the whole Bible is a backdrop to him who created all we have, all we are, and all we ever will be. As I draw to an end, and as a community of Friends and Free Church, let's remember these four following things together. Firstly, remember our journey. Moses would have remembered his journey with God, all the encounters across the decades, particularly the ones where God promised to be with him as he confronted Pharaoh. We too need to do the same, to remember our journey with a faithful and reliable God. Those memories will sustain us when the going gets tough and the unknown seems to triumph over every positive thought. God is beside us as we walk the unknown and the unfamiliar. Secondly, remember that one day we will be accountable for the state of our hearts. Were they open and soft to the prompting of God, or were they hard and resistant? And did that hardness ultimately bring hurt and destruction to those around? Thirdly, remember God is faithful. Moses and Aaron were not left to fight for themselves. God stood with them. God stood for them. And God simply stood. And he will do the same for us. And finally, remember God's mercy is relentless. Prior to each of the plagues that beset the nation of Egypt, God, through Moses and Aaron, offered Pharaoh a door of opportunity to avoid the impending disaster. And as with us and those of our generation, God still offers us all a door through which we can walk, and a person in whom we can trust and believe to escape the wages of our sin. Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us go into our often unknown worlds with our heads held high, confident and at peace with ourselves because of what Christ has done for us. Celebrate the life that we have been granted. Share the love of God, share the grace of God, share the mercy of God. Tell out the story of salvation. Praise the King. Christ died and we are forgiven. We are the risen. Praise the King.